Well, happy Thanksgiving. Today is the day before Thanksgiving. It's Wednesday, November 22nd, 2023. This is Brighteon Broadcast News. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me. And again, for all of you who celebrate Thanksgiving, hope you have a wonderful family day. On past Thanksgivings, we would have to urge each other, you know, don't talk about whether you support Biden or Trump, right? Or don't talk about vaccines. This year, Thanksgiving, don't talk about Israel, because everybody's going to start throwing turkey bones at each other. It's like, kill them all, bomb them all. No, you kill them all. So don't talk about Israel on this Thanksgiving. Things could get crazy. All right, we have some breaking news that's positive news. There is a four-day humanitarian pause in the war in Gaza. I'll be giving you some details about that coming up. And also, I was a guest with Maria Z, who hosted the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show yesterday. And assuming we can get that file, I'm going to play that interview for you here in this podcast today, because I think Maria and I had a really good, powerful conversation about current events. And there's a lot in there that I want to share with you. I don't have to restate it. I think we nailed it during the interview, so I'll play that for you. I think it's about 42 minutes in duration or something around that. Anyway, that's coming up as well. Also, Governor Greg Abbott posted something to Twitter, or X as it's called, that I want to read for you here. And this is about Texas being the economic powerhouse of the United States. And for example, Texas is the number one U.S. exporter. And that's been the case for 21 years in a row. And Texas, if it were a nation, it would be the eighth largest economy in the world. Yeah, the eighth largest in the world. This is why I'm a supporter of Texas independence. I think Texas should be its own nation, the Republic of Texas. And it's not that I'm, you know, aggressively pushing for that right now, but when the dollar collapses and when the U.S. empire collapses, it's going to be obvious that a lot of strong regions or states in the United States say, hey, guess what? We need to be our own country at this point because, well, the dollar's collapsed and, you know, the United States empire has collapsed. So what do we do now? Well, I'm really glad to be in Texas. I mean, check this out. 26 commercial airports, 19 seaports. Yeah. 22 interstate highways, 34 foreign trade zones, 58 freight railroads, 367 miles of coastline, and no personal or corporate income tax. That's right, no income tax in the state of Texas. Texas is the largest energy producing nation in the state. It's the number one jobs creator in the country. And last year, Texas created 650,000 jobs. Let's see, Texas led the nation in high-tech exports for the 10th consecutive year. So Texas is a technology state. It's not just longhorn cattle, by the way, and horses. No, it's high-tech. You know, it's aerospace. It's medical tech. It's a lot. And obviously comms, you know, internet communications technology. There are 15 million people in the labor force in Texas. And there are probably at least 5 million of those 15 million in the labor force who actually work, which is pretty amazing. Now, Governor Abbott didn't actually have that as part of the statistic. That's just my observation as a Texas employer, that some employees do work. And when you can find them, keep them. And better yet, by the way, Texas has Attorney General Ken Paxton. Now, Ken Paxton, this man is becoming a legend. Ken Paxton, he's investigating media matters for their, you know, their bias and misrepresentation and possible fraud. He went to war with big tech on censorship issues. He's gone after fraud in big pharma. And this is why, by the way, Ken Paxton was impeached earlier this year. And then, of course, he had his trial in the Texas Senate and he emerged victorious. The impeachment failed. And that impeachment was put together by the Bush cartel, which includes people like Karl Rove. So it's all the old Bush party, basically. And they try to remove Ken Paxton because you know, they couldn't control him, and he wouldn't play ball with what they wanted, with their agenda. Instead, Ken Paxton actually represents the people of Texas. And the reason I mention this for all of you listening, wherever you're listening, is that I'm going to push hard for Ken Paxton to be the Attorney General of the DOJ when Trump is reelected president. And as you know, from this week, I have now predicted publicly that Trump will be president again. I mean, technically, that will be his third term because he also won the election in 2020. I do have, of course, some reservations about what Trump is going to do. And I still think that Trump represents a lot of big pharma interests, a lot of big finance interests, and a lot of big war military interests. And I've talked a lot about that. But I do believe he will be president. And one of the things that I hope Trump does this time around is to select good people instead of the losers that he kept selecting, like Jeff Sessions as the attorney general back in the Trump's first term. And then Bill Barr, who was another, you know, stab you in the back traitor to the Trump administration. So get Ken Paxton in play at the DOJ. And as a Texan, I'm okay with giving him up to the DOJ because he deserves it. And what Ken Paxton is willing to do to fight against corruption and fraud and to protect the people, that should be shared with all Americans as far as I'm concerned. So Ken Paxton for AG. And of course, getting Trump into the White House is going to be the step necessary to get Ken Paxton into that position as AG. So the reason I'm saying all this, if Trump were to pre-announce, or, you know, sometime during his campaign, if Trump were to start to announce some of the people that he's going to nominate for these positions, that could give me enough reason to vote for Trump again, even if I have serious reservations about Trump himself, just knowing who he's going to put into play. So, you know, who does Trump support for head of the FBI, or again, the Attorney General of the DOJ, or other departments? That can say a lot. Or what about Secretary of State? Probably the most important position to consider. And, you know, Mayorkas has got to go also in terms of Homeland Security and all that. And in the Pentagon, you know, Austin has got to be replaced by somebody else. So I want to start hearing from Trump who he's going to recommend putting into play. Now, it's not a done deal that Trump is going to win, of course, but I'm seeing a lot of signs that the establishment wants Trump in office, or at least certain sectors of the establishment, not the Democrats, obviously. They don't want him in play. And there are, you know, obviously the cultural LGBT people on the left don't want him in play. And certainly the illegals in America do not want him in play because he's going to round them up and boot them out of the country. But there are, I think, some establishment forces that want Trump in. And just as, what's the guy's name? Was it Milei? Yeah, Javier Milei, who is now the president-elect of Argentina. And a lot of people are celebrating, oh, he's, you know, he's an outsider. He's going to come in. He's going to reform Argentina, right? Well, yeah, he's also a graduate from the World Economic Forum. He's a WEFer. And I think it's crazy how quickly people jump on board the next, you know, the next scripted character to come in and to say, oh, we're going to save you. I mean, I'm not buying it, folks. I'm not buying it. Now, look, maybe he's going to prove me wrong. I hope so. Javier Milei, I saw this video. He was talking about all the ministries he's going to get rid of. And it was awesome. He was like, afuera, afuera. Like, you know, the minister of education, afuera, get it out of here. The minister of money, get it out of here. The minister of agriculture, get it out of here. And I was thinking, what about the minister of ministries? What are you going to do about that ministry? He wants to get rid of all the ministries. And this is a very dramatic, almost like a world wrestling, you know, the WWE characters like, I'm going to break your nose. I'm going to stomp your face. You know, I'm going to break your back with a chair. You know, that's what it reminded me of. These are professional political wrestlers who are just playing to the crowd. And the crowd's like, yes, yes, we win, we win. You're not winning anything. I mean, this guy is going to come in to power, I imagine. I mean, again, I hope I'm wrong, but he's probably going to come into power and he's just going to continue the primary policies that drive all nations right now, which is, as I've said, disease, debt, and death. You know, he's probably going to push big pharma, push vaccines, and push money printing. I mean, he says he's opposed to the central bank. That's great. I love to hear that. I want to see him do it. You know, prove me wrong, Millet. Please, please, because I'm skeptical. Been burned too many times by too many promising politicians. This is not my first rodeo, not yours either, listening to this, so we should all remain skeptical until circumstances prove otherwise. Just remember, folks, the point of elections is to make the people believe they are in control of their destiny. That's it. But no matter who you vote for, you always will get John McCain. That's just a little truism. No matter who you vote for, you get John McCain. It's one of the worst warmongering globalists and liars and deceivers in history. And John McCain was involved in the Trump dossier, by the way. Yeah. John McCain helped set that whole thing up. He was actually working for the deep state to take down Trump. And no good person misses John McCain. But they gave him almost like a king's funeral when he passed away. Should have been a celebration for human freedom, frankly, when that guy left this planet. I mean, what an evil demon. All right, but bottom line, hey, maybe you think Malay is going to be fantastic. Maybe you think Trump is going to be fantastic. Okay, I'm open to that. Maybe you think RFK Jr. is going to be fantastic. Maybe you like Vivek Ramaswamy. Maybe you like Dr. Shiva. That's fine. But be skeptical, because you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned by certain people, for sure. And Vivek is almost, it's almost like somebody went online and compiled all the biggest complaints of the American people and what they're really thinking and what they want. And then Vivek is going through that script and just saying the most powerful things that every American wants to hear. And it's just, in my view, it's too good. It's too good to be true. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, he says all the right things, but there's, I don't know, there's something about the slickness of the presentation that has red flags up in my mind. What do you think? You agree with me on that, or am I overreacting? Post your comments beneath this video on Brighteon.com and let me know what you think. Hey, I'm totally open to being wrong on this. I mean, maybe we're going to find somebody who's actually going to do what they say. I haven't seen that person yet. That's all. And not that I know of. But I will add one more thing. It is refreshing, in my view, to hear from Dr. Shiva, for example, and to hear Vivek Ramaswamy say the things that people are thinking. I admit, I agree, that's refreshing just to hear the vocalization of a lot of what is in people's hearts and minds. And that's why I've interviewed Dr. Shiva. I'll interview him again if he's willing to come on. Because even though he uses, I think, far too much profanity, but he is saying what people are thinking. And it's raw, man. It's raw. I mean, Dr. Shiva had an online video where he was saying that Trump sucks Zionist blank, and other people, they all suck Zionist blank. And, you know, it's crude. It's kind of profane. It's kind of funny, but it's definitely crude. You would not have heard a presidential candidate speak like that, you know, 20 years ago, not by a long shot. Maybe not even 10 years ago, but things have changed so much right now. There's so much at stake. There's so much rawness out there. And there's a sense that we're losing our world. You know, if we don't change course, we're losing everything that matters to us. We're losing our nation. We're losing our culture. We're losing our society. And that sense is authentic. We are losing our nation. I think it's already in the cards. I don't think America comes back from this. It's just a matter of how the fall actually takes place. The collapse is in play. We're beyond the tipping point. We can't bring it back. You know, I've talked about this on many episodes here. And in a sense, it doesn't even matter that much who's in the White House in 2025, because these are the last days of the U.S. empire. And what's more important is what we choose to rebuild on the other side of that, which is why I mentioned Texas becoming its own country. You know, the United States of America, as you see it today, you know, my prediction is it will not exist like this in this form beyond the end of 2025. That's been my prediction for like 5 or 6 years or something like that. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I'm more concerned about how we rebuild than who we vote into office in the next election, personally. That's just me. And when I say how we rebuild, I mean the principles upon which we build the next society. And those principles have to include freedom of speech. Has to include, you know, free speech and a functioning, working justice system. We have to protect children from the LGBT agendas. You know, the transgenderism, mutilations of children in particular, medical violence. You know, we've got to enshrine the right to say no to medical interventions, for example. We have to make sure government can never be involved in censorship. You know, there are many, many issues. Health freedom is just one of them. Speech freedom is another one. You know, firearms freedom is yet another one. And also keeping government small. We can't have this insane taxation that we have right now and all this money printing that is empowering a corrupt, fraudulent regime to loot the American workers, take their money, and use it to fund wars overseas, for example, among other bad ideas. So we've got to stop the money printing. And when the dollar collapses, that will be our opportunity to have something far better, something that actually works. You know, honest money, money backed by, let's say, gold, like the dollar used to be before 1971. So let's keep in mind the big, big picture here and not get hung up on the cult of personality or particular celebrities or thinking that this hero is going to deliver us from evil. No, it's probably not going to happen like that. Probably the system collapses and then we all scramble, none of us being the heroes. It's probably going to be a community-wide effort of everyday people like you and I working together to rebuild a nation rooted in liberty. And there's not going to be one big hero that does it. And anybody who thinks that one big hero is going to come along and save America, I think you're kidding yourself. It's not going to happen that way. You know, it's a nice little delusional fairy tale dream. It sounds kind of like, you know, the way in Christianity, you know, it's the second coming of Christ. Like Christ is going to come back and then God's going to speak and all the evil's going to be defeated. And then we're going to live 1,000 years in abundance. Yeah. That's a really nice thing to picture in your mind, because it requires you to do nothing other than have faith in Christ. You know, there's no work required on your side. Christ is going to do it. You know, God's going to do it. He's going to show up, the second coming, and then we're all going to be raptured, you know? So all we got to do is say we believe in Christ, and then he's going to come fix everything. But I see that kind of attitude in politics too. Like, all we got to do is elect this guy, you know, Malay, and then he's going to fix everything. Or all we got to do is elect Trump. He's going to fix everything. I think all of those examples are wrong, including the idea that you don't have to do anything, that Christ is going to just solve all the problems. No, Christ wants you to take responsibility for your life each and every day that you live it. By the way, at least that's my understanding. You know, don't treat Christ like your magical genie that comes along and grants all your wishes to solve all your problems and eliminate all your enemies and make the world magically awesome overnight. That's juvenile. Juvenile. No. If we're going to rebuild society, even with Christian principles, rest assured that Christ and God are going to demand of us that we have a role and have a stake in the rebuilding of society. It's not going to be easy. There are no supernatural shortcuts. You're going to have to work at this, and we're going to have to work together to make the world a better place. So roll up your sleeves, you know, dig in, get ready for some hard work ahead. We're not going to get an instant bailout. There are no heroes that are going to save us. We are the heroes we've been waiting for, you and I and people like us. We are the white hats. We are the ones who are going to turn this around. And it's going to be hard, but it's going to be rewarding. And it's probably the most important thing that we can do in our entire lives. So stop with the celebrity worship and get down to work to making the world a better place. So in that, by the way, let me tell you something that I committed to today publicly in my interview with Maria Z. I was talking about how Twitter, or X as it's called, is not a free speech platform, and how Twitter shadow bans myself, Health Ranger. That's my handle on Twitter, Health Ranger. And also shadow bans InfoWars and completely bans Alex Jones. He's still not allowed back on Twitter. And there are many, many other accounts that are extremely shadow banned. And, you know, here we have Elon Musk, who, again, please don't worship Elon Musk as some kind of supernatural hero, because that's just as juvenile as worshiping Malay or Trump or any other human being. It's silly. Elon Musk is not your savior, okay? And Twitter's not even a free speech platform. As I just said, they shadow ban people like myself. And did you know on Twitter, you can't even post a URL of a video on Brighteon? Yeah, that's right. You can't even post a Brighteon URL, which is insane, because you can share Rumble URLs, but not Brighteon videos, huh? What's that all about? Well, you know, by the way, we are in touch with Twitter's legal team over this issue, so we'll see where that goes, or we might end up having to sue Twitter. We'll see. I mean, Elon Musk is suing Media Matters. We might sue Twitter. But what I said today, which is the opposite of that, I said, look, if Twitter is concerned about where it's going to get ad revenues by turning on voices of people like Alex Jones or other, you know, pro-liberty, pro-human voices, I committed today, I said, look, I will commit $100,000 a month in advertising revenues to Twitter if Elon Musk will just stop the censorship of some of the most important voices out there, including Alex Jones and InfoWars. And obviously, I would put myself in that category as well. Why is he censoring me? I'll spend $100,000 a month. And when I go on Twitter right now, I see just crazy, stupid ads for things like Oreo cookies. It's like, what? Who wants to see ads for Oreo cookies? I mean, definitely not me. I will spend $100,000 a month. Now, I know that's not going to fund all of Twitter, but I think Andrew Tate just offered $1 million a month in ad revenues for Twitter. The point is, if you start to go around and say, hey, are there some people who are more on the pro-liberty side of things who would support Twitter financially with advertising revenues, you could get to tens of millions of dollars a month in ad revenue. You don't need freaking Procter & Gamble. You don't need, you know, Adidas or whoever, Toyota, or you don't need these big corporations that can't handle freedom, by the way. You don't need McDonald's all over Twitter. Who cares? I mean, McDonald's, come on, give me a break. Why would you even want McDonald's on Twitter? You should have much better things. I'll advertise nutrition. You know, things that help people be healthier, that help protect your health, that help prevent chronic degenerative diseases, so we can lower healthcare costs and reduce taxpayer expenditures on, you know, medical treatments for people, and enhance and improve the quality of life for so many people, millions of people all over the Twitterverse. That would make a lot more sense, to advertise things that help people instead of Oreo cookies with their partially hydrogenated, you know, soybean oil and sugar stuffing in between, you know, processed food, junk food, garbage cookie edges or whatever. Instead of that crap, why not have the Health Ranger store advertising on Twitter offering people good nutrition? USDA certified organic, laboratory tested, top of the line, premium ingredients, everything to make smoothies, you know, storable food that's actually organic. We test for glyphosate. We test for heavy metals. We're about to start testing for dioxins. We're the only people in the world that do this with our food supply. Wouldn't that be better than just Oreo cookie ads all over Twitter? I mean, think about it, you know? So that's my offer to Elon Musk and Twitter is, look, end the censorship and we will support your platform financially. By the way, the whole Media Matters Twitter spat has taken an interesting turn. I got to read for you some of this covered by Zero Hedge. So this is after X sued Media Matters, claiming that Media Matters, which was founded by David Brock, manipulated the platform to show ads next to Nazi imagery. And this caused a flood of advertisers to leave the platform. But it was all ginned up. It was all engineered. The Twitter folks actually tried to replicate this and could not make it happen. And as X announced, quote, "The end result was a feed that was precision designed by Media Matters for a single purpose, to produce side-by-side ad content placements that it could screenshot in an effort to alienate advertisers," which caused all but one of the companies featured in the Media Matters piece to withdraw all their ads from X, including Apple, Comcast, NBC Universal, and IBM, some of X's largest advertisers. Now, by the way, my comment is all those companies are evil. Apple, pure evil. Globalism, censorship, LGBT agendas, right? Apple's evil. Why would you want to take money from Apple anyway? Comcast, yeah, pure evil. For similar reasons. NBC Universal, are you kidding me? Pure evil. IBM made the machines actually sold to the Third Reich and used in the Holocaust. They were, you know, IBM means International Business Machines, by the way. And the early computers were punch card systems, little punch card tabulators. And even before the punch card tabulators, there were non-punch card tabulators. And yes, these existed back in the late 1930s and early 1940s, and so did IBM. And IBM sold this technology to the Third Reich. The Hitler regime literally used IBM technology to help carry out the Holocaust, the mass slaughter of the Jews. So why would you want IBM as an advertiser? You know, there's a whole book on this by Edwin Black, by the way. It's called IBM and the Holocaust, if you want to look that up. But as Zero Hedge writes, what happened next couldn't have been better scripted in pre-woke Hollywood. It turns out that Media Matters president Angelo Carusone, or Carusone, probably, wrote super anti-Semitic blog posts in the early 2000s, which were uncovered by the Daily Caller's Peter Hasson in 2019, and these have now been making the rounds. And these blog posts, one of them is entitled Tranny Paradise, and there's a lot of criticism against a tranny-loving author. And then in another post, he said, "Lighten up, Japs." So he's, you know, using the Japs term, talking about some basketball coaches' physical abuse of female players or something. "Lighten up, Japs." And then in another post in 2005, he said he was talking about his boyfriend, and he said, "Despite his Jewry, you know he's adorable." You know, his Jewry, not jewelry, but Jewry, J-E-W-R-Y, like his Jewness, how much of a Jew he was. And then he suggested that his Jewish boyfriend lean conservative, quote, as a result of his possession of several bags of Jewish gold. Right? Right. I mean, seriously. And then, by the way, there's a tweet from Kanakoa the Great that has aggregated some of the posts from Media Matters employees who hate Israel. So they have pro-Palestine, perhaps pro-Hamas tweets that are, you know, accusing Israel. And these people work at Media Matters. So Media Matters is trying to virtue signal and claim that there's anti-Semitism on Twitter or X. But in fact, their own president and their own employees are guilty of carrying out the same kind of speech. So, you know, again, this is all coming out, laughing my ass off on some of this, by the way. But let's shift gears, talk about the peace deal in the Middle East right now, because it is a big deal. And apparently the Israeli cabinet has now approved this hostage release deal. Previously, Netanyahu had said he endorsed it, and he was hoping that the Israeli cabinet would also approve of it. So here's kind of the summary of it. That Qatar will be the mediator, the nation of Qatar, some people pronounce it Qatar, I think it's Qatar, anyway, announced a four-day humanitarian pause in the Gaza Strip. The Qatari Foreign Ministry released a statement, and here's a statement translated into English. Okay, the parties, both parties, this is Hamas and Israel will cease military operations in all areas of the Gaza Strip for 4 days. So for 4 days, there will be no more bombing of hospitals and refugee camps and water treatment facilities and so on. Wow, 4 days of no bombs, huh? I guess there will be peace on Earth, at least for 4 days. Israeli Air Force flights in the south of Gaza will be completely stopped for 4 days, but in the north, flights will be suspended daily for 6 hours. I think they mean, when they say flights, I think they mean bombing, don't they? I mean, what else is the Air Force doing? Flying around dropping bombs. So I don't know how that's consistent with halting military operations, but whatever, I guess we'll see. The next point is that humanitarian aid will be allowed into all areas of the Gaza Strip. Gee, wow. What are we supposed to do? Thank Israel for allowing people to not die from mass starvation and disease? I mean, this should have been allowed, a month ago. I mean, why should we give Israel credit for doing things that Israel or that any nation should be doing anyway? Like, stop bombing women and children and, allow humanitarian medical supplies to enter, water and fuel for the generators for the hospitals and so on. But no, Israel would not allow any of that. The next item is that Israel has pledged not to arrest Palestinians in the Gaza Strip for the duration of the truce and to ensure their freedom of movement along the road between the north and south of the enclave. I mean, again, the language is wrong. Essentially, Israel is saying, we won't just illegally kidnap anybody we want for a few days. Because normally, Israel just kidnaps whoever they want and just takes them as a hostage, even if they've done nothing wrong. That's what Israel does. Israel thinks that they own all the Palestinians and can do with them whatever they want. Use them for target practice, even. They do that as well. Torture them. Hold them without being charged. Hold them without any due process whatsoever. They still do that all the time. They've got, 5,000 plus Palestinians held as prisoners in Israeli jails right now. Why won't Israel release those people, huh? All right, there will be a prisoner release here of a few people, 50 Israeli hostages who are women and children under 19 years of age will be released by Hamas in exchange for 150 Palestinian prisoners. Isn't that interesting that that's a 1-3 ratio? So one Israeli hostage gets you 3 Palestinian hostages. That's interesting. I think the exchange rate has worsened for Israelis. I mean, I think in previous circumstances, I recall one event in the past where just one Israeli was released for, something like 1,000 Palestinians. But I guess the exchange rate on the Israeli civilian currency has really plummeted now. They're only worth 3 Palestinians now. That's, that's wartime inflation. It even hits hostage negotiations. Too much inflation taking place. I guess, I knew it was far worse than what we were being told. And you know what Hamas is thinking, gosh, these Israelis just aren't worth what they used to be. They're probably thinking they're going to have to kidnap more or something, to make up for the loss of exchange rate. Anyway, the next item, Hamas has promised to remain in a state of combat readiness to protect the Palestinian people. Yeah, that's wise, since Israel just constantly lies about everything and you can't trust Israel to keep its word on anything. There's something in the release that says that Israel has agreed to release some Palestinian women and minors to let them return to their homes in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. It didn't say exactly how many, though. But speaking of women and minors, by the way, there was a post from Jake Shields, who's a former MMA champion, by the way. You got to have a lot of respect for that. And he's very popular on Twitter or X, Jake Shields AJJ. That's his handle there. And he posted the following statistic, which is in an infographic that is really impressive. He says this is an extremely impressive statistic. I mean, there's satire in that, but it shows that the Nazis between 1940 and 1945, they killed 127 children per day in the Auschwitz camp. So that's a pretty big number. That's actually what, 2 to the power of 8 minus 1, actually, come to think of it. 127 children per day. That's also the atomic mass of iodine, in case you're wondering, the element iodine, 127. Aside from that, sorry about geeking out there, but Israel has now exceeded that. Again, impressive. Israel has killed between, well, from October and November of this year, obviously in the bombing campaign since October 7th, Israel has now killed an average of 178 children per day on average. So again, Adolf Hitler, 127 children per day. Benjamin Netanyahu, 178 children. Oh, Israel is in the lead when it comes to genocide against children when averaged out over the days that are being considered here. Now, obviously, Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, they continued their mass slaughter campaign for a number of years. And so the total number of children they killed is, of course, far larger than what Israel has so far carried out. But given that Netanyahu is apparently determined to exterminate all Palestinians, and given that out of the 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza, roughly 40% are estimated to be children, I believe, somewhere around that, maybe a little bit more. Well, you know, do the math. Netanyahu is really trying to put up some major numbers of something approaching 1 million children if he can get away with it. I mean, think about that. If he could kill a million Palestinian children, he would do it. In fact, he's in the process of doing it. And he's doing it at a pace that exceeds the pace of child slaughter that even the Third Reich carried out. Imagine that. So I guess if you're on Team Israel right now, you should feel really proud that you're on the winning team, at least the winning team in the genocide games. You're putting up some real numbers there, you know? Got to get the high score if this continues. Huh. Now, actor James Woods posted on Twitter the following. I mean, this is just a straight-up call for genocide. And isn't it amazing that James Woods is not banned from Twitter? Not even shadow banned. No, he's got a massive following. He said, hashtag kill them all, in response to a post showing Palestinian supporters and what they're protesting and doing some not so nice things to a small dog that was wearing an Israeli flag. But in response to that, James Woods is like, kill them all. And then he says, no ceasefire, no compromise, no forgiveness, kill them all. And that seems to be a call for, you know, mass genocide against the Palestinian people. And so, you know, this is another example of right-wing people losing their minds, like Ben Shapiro and James Woods and quite a few others, just losing their minds. It's like all of a sudden, mass genocide is okay with them. But the bottom line is now there is a four-day humanitarian pause. I guess it's the Thanksgiving, you know, peace offering or something. Now, I have a question. Why do we have to start the war again 4 days later? Why can't we just say, hey, you know, this pause, this time when we're not killing each other and where we aren't bombing hospitals, we're not blowing babies apart, we're not killing women and children. Why don't we actually do this all the time? That would be an awesome idea. Why don't we have a 40-day pause or a 400-day pause? How about that? How about 4 years or more? Could we just say maybe we don't kill each other all the time? How about that? But no, not from Netanyahu, not from the IDF. Netanyahu says, after these 4 days, we're still going to completely destroy Hamas. And when he says destroy Hamas, what he means is he's going to bomb Palestinian civilians to death because no one is stopping him. The U.S. isn't stopping him. The International Criminal Court is not stopping him, and they should. Netanyahu should be arrested and prosecuted for war crimes. And I hope he is one day soon, if that ever happens. But he has no interest in peace, none whatsoever. He wants to slaughter, And then he wants to seize their land and push all the Palestinians out. And now Germany is apparently talking about accepting 1 million Palestinian refugees. Yeah, right, right. So Germany, the nation that has a collapsing economy because of the loss of energy, because the U.S. Navy destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline, Germany can barely function as a nation right now, and it's already being overrun with migrants. Germany's supposed to take on 1 million Palestinian refugees? Really? I mean, wow. So Israel takes Gaza, steals all this land from the Palestinians. The Palestinians get pushed, displaced to Germany, where they take over Germany, which is no longer a nation of the German people, you know, ethnic Germans or Germanic people. No, and now it's a Muslim country run by the Palestinians. So what is this? Why did Israelis come from Europe and take over Palestine starting in 1948 and then, you know, 75 years later or whatever it is, push the Palestinians back to Europe and then take over European countries and make them Muslim countries? What is this? This is some kind of weird geopolitical trading places episode. And, you know, in this equation, Israel comes out on top. Israel gets more land. The German people get shafted. The German people lose their country. That's what happens. And it's all by design by the globalists, folks. This is the plan. And by the way, they're trying to push for America to take on another 1 million Palestinian refugees. And that'd be 2 million. 1 million for Germany, 1 million for the United States. And then guess what? You're going to continue to lose your country in America as well. I mean, look, I think the Palestinian people should stay right where they are. We should demand an end to the bombing. We should have a two-state solution. Let the Palestinian people stay in their homes or rebuild the homes. Make Israel pay for it. You bombed it, you rebuild it, you know. You break it, you buy it, right? Make Israel rebuild Gaza and then let the Palestinian people live there in peace. Get rid of the prison camp system and don't just push Palestinians all over the world to invade Germany or the United States. That's my solution. I mean, it's like, hey, let's stop the mass murder and stop displacing people and destroying their homes. And just how about we live where we are in peace? How about that? Now, Susan Sarandon, the actress, rather accomplished actress, also, of course, known to be very much a left-leaning actress, her talent agency just dropped her. You know why? Because she said something positive about Palestine. She said, you don't have to be Palestinian to care about what's happening in Gaza. And then she continued. She said, I stand with Palestine. No one is free until everyone is free, she said. I mean, that's among many things she has said. And so they dropped her. And I guess Susan Sarandon just found out that Hollywood is run by Zionists, by the way. That's a tough way to find that out. Yeah, that's tough. I wonder if my talent agency has also dropped me for speaking the truth about what's going on in the Middle East. Oh, wait, that's right. I don't have a talent agency, and nor do I give a crap about having a talent agency, because that's what I love about being who I am and doing what I do. I don't have to answer to anybody except you, the listeners. I don't have any boss that can fire me, or I don't have any platform owner that can yank me off the platform, because I built this platform. I mean, I own the platform. And because I've been through this censorship and oppression, I know firsthand how much it sucks to be silenced. And that's why I built a platform to celebrate free speech for other people as well. And that's why on Brighteon.com right now, you're going to find all kinds of voices. You're going to find pro-Israel voices, pro-Palestine voices, probably pro-Yemeni Houthi voices, if you look hard enough, I would imagine, you know, like rooting on the helicopters and taking over the ships. Probably. I don't know. I mean, we don't allow videos that call for violence, obviously, or videos that teach people to carry out acts of terrorism or anything like that. But in terms of commentary, You can be pro any, like almost anything, or anti anything. It's your video, your speech. So use Brighteon.com. Post your own videos and let the world know what you think about these issues. And Susan Sarandon, I would just say to Susan Sarandon, look, you know, look, I'm sorry your talent agency dropped you, but maybe you should have gotten red-pilled long before now. If you hadn't pushed all these left-wing authoritarian causes, then maybe you wouldn't be targeted by the left-wing authoritarians at this point. You see what I mean? This is the problem with all these leftists. They're so shocked that they're getting canceled now. Hey, welcome to the club, Susan. We've been getting canceled for years. And then for James Woods, also out of Hollywood, I don't know what how he lost his mind, what happened there, but aside from that moment of losing his mind, he was actually making a lot of sense on Twitter, by the way. So who knows? I mean, Susan Sarandon actually makes more sense now than James Woods on this issue in the Middle East. You just never know, do you? You never know what's going to change on any given day. And then, of course, there's Sean Penn, who never makes any sense at all. That guy will never make any sense. Remember he gave one of his Oscar trophies to Zelensky over in Ukraine, which was very appropriate since Zelensky is an actor, an actual accomplished actor who played the role of the president of Ukraine in a TV series for Ukraine that was funded and produced by the same people that funded his presidential campaign so that he would seem presidential to the Ukrainian people before he was installed into office and then used, of course, as a proxy puppet by the West. So, yeah, Zelensky's just an actor. He's just been playing a role. And it turns out that his script is coming to an end, by the way. If Zelensky survives to the spring of 2024, I will be shocked. He's not going to be around much longer, is my prediction. All right, we're about to jump into the interview today, which is, as I said earlier, actually Maria Z interviewing me about many of these issues. But I think you'll find it to be a very valuable conversation. And Maria Z is so well informed. And, you know, she's based out of Australia. And we had her as a guest in studio in Texas not long ago. And she is so knowledgeable. And she's just very determined. I mean, she is a great investigator, analyst, and journalist. And so I was very honored to be on her show. I think you'll enjoy this conversation. Before we get there, I do want to say we still have food available at healthrangerstore.com. We've got the Ranger buckets, Mega buckets, and Mini buckets. We have actually had a lot of success with the food supply chain this year. And maybe it's the fact that we have good relationships with these vendors for so many years. And, you know, we treat them right. We pay them on time and so on. There's a lot of people going broke across the food industry and the preparedness industry, but we're not one of them. And so we have good relationships with vendors and we've been able to keep a supply chain in pretty good standing. We are sold out of the organic cream, heavy cream powder. So that's gone. It's going to take us a while to get that back in stock. And also the organic white cheddar cheese powder is, I believe, sold out as well. Apparently, we did not order enough, so we'll try to do better on that next time and try not to run out. But as with a lot of things in our store, if you see them in stock and you want them, you should probably just get them right away because you never know how long inventory is going to last on any particular item. HealthRangerStore.com, and we are all caught up from our Black Friday event shipping. So we are now shipping out very quickly on new orders that are placed. So thank you for your support. Also, in terms of preparedness, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, BeReady123.com, which has the solar generators. So for the grid down scenarios that are at risk of happening across America, especially during the winter in cold weather, remember, it's a lot of the eastern half of the United States in particular, including Texas, that is at risk of blackouts because of, you know, insufficient power grid infrastructure. You may find yourself in the dark sometime this winter and with a solar generator and an energy storage system, you can have emergency power to charge your satellite phones or flashlights or mobile devices or, you know, computers or whatever. You can even run blenders and relatively small electronics, or in some cases, you can run small freezers or refrigerators on these devices as well, depending on the capacity of the unit. Check them out at BeReady123.com, which is associated with the satellite phone store. All right, with that said, enjoy the interview. Have a great Thanksgiving, and I will have a new podcast update for you on Friday. So check back Friday late morning or mid-morning, I guess, depending on how quickly it gets posted on my channel on Brighteon.com, which is HR Report. Or you can find my posts on band.video with InfoWars, as well as rumble.com. And join my Telegram channel, which is Real Health Ranger. You can also join me on Brighteon.social, and my channel there is just at Health Ranger. So enjoy this interview, and I'll be back with you soon. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Maria, that's the big picture here. We are all being played. Real people are dying. There's too much suffering. We don't need this. I'm calling for peace, but on a global level. Peace is the only way to defeat the globalists. We are rapidly approaching the point where 100 major nations around the world will stop trading with the dollar. China is already selling off dollar debt, or treasuries, and other nations are doing that as well as their central banks are buying physical gold. Now, what does this have to do with Israel? It has everything to do with Israel, because Israel is only propped up by United States funding and the U.S. military. If the U.S. Navy were not there in, well, the Eastern Mediterranean Sea, and also, I think, near the Red Sea right now, with the Eisenhower Group, Israel would probably already be overrun by Hezbollah, by Turkey, by Syria, by the Arab nations that surround Israel. There is an ocean of angry Arabs surrounding Israel, a relatively tiny nation that appears to be, in my opinion, carrying out a level of atrocities against Palestinian civilians that are designed to provoke a wider war, because the United States is asking Israel to escalate this to the point where the U.S. can justify bombing Iran. That seems to be the real narrative behind this. But the dollar, when the dollar loses its value and really collapses, and this can happen in an accelerating way due to the mad money printing and the abandonment of the dollar globally, when the dollar goes down, how will the U.S. support Israel? When the dollar dies, Israel has no more U.S. support, and Israel then is so vulnerable and will probably potentially be attacked and maybe even overrun by those Arab nations. So Israel's fate is tied to the fate of the dollar. Everybody's forgetting that. And the fate of the dollar is that the dollar is going to zero, folks. It's going to zero. We don't know when, but that's about to happen. So maybe, just my opinion, maybe Israel should figure out how to get along with its neighbors instead of provoking them into bloodlust and war.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Maria Z from zmedia.com, and it is an honor to be here with you today. We'll have Mike Adams joining us in just a moment, but before he comes on, oh, here he is. I think he's with us now. I just wanted to say a few words about the caliber of the people that are speaking out right now. I think as we get closer and closer to the complete chaos and destruction that's being orchestrated by the New World Order, times will get more difficult. And between now and then, it's really going to be a test of character. And I think that these past few weeks alone have really, really shown who can be trusted and who can't moving forward. Mike Adams is one of those people. He joins us now. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you, Maria. It's an honor to join you today. Great to be on the channel.
It's wonderful to see you. For anyone that's not following Mike, please follow Natural News, follow him on X, watch Brighteon.com. He does a daily broadcast, the Health Ranger Report, always spot on analysis. Mike, I think, I guess I want to ask you about this, the latest wave. Obviously, you and I spoke very early on with the Middle Eastern conflict. We did an interview and we were kind of both perplexed by the emotional and irrational response from people. Now, a few weeks on, do you think that's settled? Do you think that now people are starting to be able to sift through the facts?
Well, I think you just mentioned something really critical to understand here, that globalists are orchestrating events right now in order to destroy humanity and to cause chaos that will give them power. And what happened on October 7th is no different. In fact, I equate October 7th with January 6th. Both events were in many ways orchestrated by governments in order to justify the actions that they wanted to take against certain people that they are targeting. Of course, January 6th, now the truth is coming out. It was a staged insurrection. It was orchestrated by the powers that be so they could cover up a stolen election. And it was successful in that way. They shut down the alternate electors wave that was building momentum and people questioning that election. But October 7th in Israel, and of course, Hamas was originally funded in part by Israel, and it's a creation of Mossad and other intelligence agencies. Hamas was allowed to attack on October 7th, carry out its bloodshed, its acts of terrorism against Israeli civilians and military targets so that Israel could have its justification for what it's doing now. So, Maria, that's the big picture here. We are all being played. Real people are dying. There's too much suffering. We don't need this. I'm calling for peace, but on a global level, peace is the only way to defeat the globalists.
I absolutely agree with you. I just want to let people know about an observation from my end. I watched a very, very, a pastor that I really do respect, and he had a guest on recently, and, you know, that guest was talking about collecting donations for weapons for the IDF. I simply cannot understand. First of all, U.S. tax dollars of many, many people around the world are already going to the IDF. To be collecting donations from churchgoers for more weapons to kill innocent civilians. We're not just fighting Hamas here. We're talking about killing innocent civilians, bombing churches, bombing hospitals. Another a school was just bombed as well, where refugees and innocents are being sheltered. Go on.
Sorry, but the key here, and I know we'll talk about this on the other side of the break here, but what's happening, what you just described, is making our world more dangerous for Americans and more dangerous for Israelis. So if Israel is to survive, they have to change course. And we need to talk about that in more detail, because if we are pro-Israel and if we support Jewish people and Judaism, we must call for a halting of what is happening right now, because that is a path of destruction of the state of Israel, I believe.
I absolutely agree with you. I want to read a portion of a letter that was sent to me by a friend from Israel, which absolutely backs up what you're saying. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. Well, I'm so, so grateful for InfoWars and for Alex Jones. This platform is so vital, having the most important conversations really on earth about things that actually matter and things that can change the course of history. So please support InfoWars. Head to the InfoWars store today and get yourself a high-quality supplement. Get yourself a signed copy of Alex's book and support them to continue getting these conversations out there. Like I said, changing the course of history. We're here with Mike Adams. Mike, just before the break, you said that what we really need is to basically all be calling for a ceasefire, not for any other reason. If you really are a supporter of Israel, number one, you'll share the gospel with the Jewish people. Number two, you will not want any of them to be in any further danger, not collecting donations and arming the IDF for further escalation. You are angering the entire world. Your comments, Mike.
Well, there's a key factor here that I think everybody is forgetting or just neglecting to recognize. And Maria, you've interviewed many guests about the coming de-dollarization that's happening in our world. And, you know, the BRICS nations next year are about to roll out their BRICS settlement currencies between nations. And you will see global use of the dollar absolutely plummet. And Saudi Arabia is one of the nations that's joining the BRICS Plus group, as you know, in January, I believe, and there are many other nations as well. We are rapidly approaching the point where 100 major nations around the world will stop trading with the dollar. China is already selling off dollar debt or treasuries, and other nations are doing that as well as their central banks are buying physical gold. Now, what does this have to do with Israel? It has everything to do with Israel, because Israel is only propped up by United States funding and the U.S. military. If the U.S. Navy were not there in, well, the Eastern Mediterranean Sea, and also, I think, near the Red Sea right now with the Eisenhower Group, Israel would probably already be overrun by Hezbollah, by Turkey, by Syria, by the Arab nations that surround Israel. There is an ocean of angry Arabs surrounding Israel, a relatively tiny nation that appears to be, in my opinion, carrying out a level of atrocities against Palestinian civilians that are designed to provoke a wider war, because the United States is asking Israel to escalate this to the point where the U.S. can justify bombing Iran. That seems to be the real narrative behind this. But the dollar, when the dollar loses its value and really collapses, and this can happen in an accelerating way due to the mad money printing and the abandonment of the dollar globally, when the dollar goes down, how will the U.S. support Israel? When the dollar dies, Israel has no more U.S. support, and Israel then is so vulnerable and will probably potentially be attacked and maybe even overrun by those Arab nations. So Israel's fate is tied to the fate of the dollar. Everybody's forgetting that. And the fate of the dollar is that the dollar is going to zero, folks. It's going to zero. We don't know when, but that's about to happen. So maybe, just my opinion, maybe Israel should figure out how to get along with its neighbors instead of provoking them into bloodlust and war. That's just my take.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Mike. I want to read a few excerpts from this letter that was sent to me by a Jewish friend in Israel. I have to keep them anonymous, Mike, because now in Israel, if you speak out and the government doesn't like it, they take you to prison for 2 years and they seize your house. Police also have the go-ahead to kill protesters. So it's absolutely dangerous for the people there right now if they disagree with the government. But this person said this was never about an Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It was always a globalist agenda to control the entire planet. Regional conflicts have been built in by the globalists into several regions of the world so that they could invoke them whenever their globalist agendas required them. This person goes on to talk about how this is a regional conflict that's been built into Israel since 1948. And they acknowledge that the land of Israel must have some profound spiritual significance for the globalists. It does, absolutely. For Satanists, it has a huge spiritual significance. I'm not saying that Jewish people are Satanists. I'm saying that the Satanists in controlling the world have a tie to that land. He says, the New World Order is coming to all parts of the world, sadly. It is tragic that the epicenter of this tsunami should be in Israel, and goes on to talk about Netanyahu creating the lab for Pfizer. And then when the dust settles, I don't know what will remain here. Well, whoever remains, no doubt, will face ruins of society, economy, buildings, infrastructure, and shall face the harbinger of a global great reset with permanent lockdowns, mandatory vaccines, and a social credit system and CBDCs. I think people, Mike, may have forgotten that every single government thus far has been working in collusion to inject people, to poison them, to bring in CBDCs, to bring in social credit scores. This is every government working together on this. And these types of crises escalate their ability to do that. And I'll comment more on that, but I'll get your take.
No, that's exactly right. This feeds right into the globalist agenda. And remember that the globalists celebrate the deaths of human beings, no matter who is dying. So, you know, if tribe A is fighting tribe B, the globalists don't care as long as there's blood in the streets. And really, and I think David Icke has said this before, that all wars are a satanic blood ritual. It's a human sacrifice ritual. And we saw that in Ukraine. I think, you know, according to reliable estimates, at least 400,000 Ukrainians, maybe 500,000, have been killed in this conflict with Russia. That's a blood sacrifice to Satan. It did not have to happen. And that did happen because of the U.S. empire pushing the expansion of NATO and provoking Russia. But this is what the U.S. does as the world's bully, running around the world with coercion, with weapons, with weaponization of the currency, the dollar, cutting people off from the SWIFT system, which they did to Russia, and then bombing civilian infrastructure such as the Nord Stream pipelines, which is destroying Germany's economy, by the way, which makes it insane that Germany is giving more weapons to Ukraine, you know, to continue to carry this out. But the U.S. weaponizes everything against we the people right now. And it doesn't have to be this way. I love America, the founding principles, what America is supposed to stand for. And I want to see that come back. But the globalists that are currently in charge of the United States of America, they do not represent the American spirit or the American people. And they are running around the world trying to destroy everything, basically pillaging, bombing, pillaging, assassinating, carrying out regime change to other countries around the world. And the more conflict there is, the more power they have over all of us. We should expect there to be another pandemic, another war, and domestic terrorism. Maria, I just did an interview literally 10 minutes before I got on with you of a man who is working with the military in Texas, and I couldn't show his face, so it's an audio-only recording. He just told me he works with intel groups. He's on calls with the FBI, with the CIA, with DHS, with Homeland Security. They are expecting over 24 U.S. cities to be hit by domestic terrorism carried out by outraged Middle Eastern terrorists who have been... they've reached the tipping point because of what's happening with Israel. So the U.S. is going to be hit with bombs, infrastructure bombs. We're talking refineries, railroads, bridges, maybe government buildings, ports. Because of what Israel is doing in Gaza right now, we are less safe in America. Not just Israel, not just the people living in Tel Aviv. We, the Americans, are less safe. And the fact that we have U.S. Navy there and we are giving Israel money to keep bombing Gaza, this is a suicide mission of the West. We are going to be the ones that are hurt by this. Wait until the bombs start falling on we the people in America. Then will you call for a ceasefire? Those of you watching who want to keep the bombs going, you'll beg for a ceasefire when that day comes. Trust me. Those are my thoughts, Maria.
Absolutely agree with you. I agree with you, Mike. Team, if you can pull up the clip just as B-roll of the Canadian Parliament, and how it's fine. An insurrection is absolutely fine if it's a pro-Palestine rally. We already know that that Soros is funding, according to the latest figures, $14 million into pro-Palestine rallies. And so further invoking the anger of the Arab world, of the Muslim world, and then this is allowed... This is allowed. We're allowed to keep raising the anger and the tension. But January 6th landed you in prison. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. We're here with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Just before the break, we played a clip of the Canadian Parliament, of the insurrection in the Canadian Parliament. And of course, that's allowed. But Owen Troyer is in prison. Mike, absolutely unbelievable. But the point of me playing that was they really are, and you made a very valid point. I say Soros-funded pro-Palestine protests. Yes, they are stoking the fire right now. They are pushing the Islamic world, which does have an underlying ideology that's ready for jihad and is being angered by Israel. They are really pushing them. How far do you think they'll really push them? Mike says all the way to terrorist attacks on U.S. soil.
Yeah, that's exactly where this is going. And to our audience here, all the info warriors, understand that if you pick a tribe, you've already lost. You're being manipulated by the system. They want you to pick a tribe and call for the total destruction of the other tribe. That's it. The way to win the game is to not play within the confines of what the globalists have set for us. Do not play that game. Instead, transcend that and say, wait a second, how do we actually de-escalate and not have violence and not have another crisis and not have another emergency? Remember what they did during the COVID emergency. They took so much power away from the American people and they pushed mandates. And by the way, they pushed mandates on our soldiers. And right now, the U.S. Army is begging for unvaxxed soldiers, right, to come back and ostensibly to die for Israel in an expanded war in the Middle East. So, where's the apology, by the way, to our veterans and our soldiers who said no to the vaccine? Over 8,000 were kicked out of the army alone for saying no to the vaccines. There should be an apology.
They should get back pay. They should have their rank reinstated. If not, you know, some kind of financial award of some kind. They had the right answer. There should be an apology to our military personnel. And by the way, and I know I've taken some heat for this, but I believe that Trump should come out and apologize for pushing Operation Warp Speed on the U.S. troops as well, and pushing a vaccine without proper testing. We now know the aftermath of that. How many millions of Americans have been disabled and taken out of the workforce? They've suffered vaccine injuries, and many Americans are dead now because of these vaccines. And in Israel, Netanyahu pushed the vaccines on his own people with an uptake rate that's through the roof, like 98% or something close to that. How many Israeli civilians were killed by the vaccines? I say, Maria, that number is higher than the 1,200 or 1,400 that are believed to have died on October 7th. I think Netanyahu killed more Israelis than Hamas did. And that is a fact. That is a fact. And Netanyahu needs to be peacefully removed from office because he is driving Israel through a suicide mission that will harm more Israeli people and will ultimately harm America as well.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Mike. In fact, I recall speaking with people in Israel at the time of I think it was the third or fourth injection, and the hospitals were overrun, the funeral homes were overrun with injected victims and people that have died as a direct result of the injections. This has been a catastrophic result of these depopulation shots, and Israel's government absolutely decimated its population with them. And so Netanyahu, as far as I'm concerned, is a murderer of his own. That's before right. He's a murderer of anyone else. So you're right.
He's a war criminal against his own civilians.
Yes.
I mean, not to mention Gaza. I mean, take Gaza out of it. Netanyahu is a war criminal against the Israeli people.
Yes, absolutely. And I note, this letter that you're talking about, the U.S. Army sent a letter to former service members dismissed for refusing the injection, and they can now request corrections of their discharge records because they're struggling with recruitment. Fancy getting rid of your most respected service members in the country because they don't want to play Russian roulette with a COVID death shot. And then because you don't have enough people to go and die for a foreign nation, inviting them to come back and die some more. I mean, this is surely no one, Mike, wants to go and fight in these bogus foreign wars anymore. This has nothing to do with protecting your own soil and everything to do with advancing a globalist agenda.
Well, and also, you know, enriching the corrupt corporations that control our elections and control our media, right? So, in fact, this $100+ billion that was supposedly sent to Ukraine, only a small fraction of that actually went to Ukraine. Most of that went to the U.S. weapons manufacturers, companies like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and Boeing and so on. And those weapons will never be manufactured in time to do anything in Ukraine because that war is already lost. And by the way, even the mainstream media in America is finally coming around and using, you know, terms and saying, well, it was magical thinking to think that the U.S. and Ukraine could beat Russia. Yeah, it was. It was delusional. Russia has won that conflict. Ukraine has lost. And now it's only a matter of time before there's going to be terms of a peace agreement or terms of surrender, you could call it. Russia's probably going to get Odessa. And all that money that supposedly went to Ukraine is just going to end up in the hands of the weapons manufacturers, with more of those weapons eventually coming off the assembly lines over the next 2 to 3 years and not helping Ukraine. So none of that money went to the Ukrainian soldiers, by the way. And my heart goes out to the Ukrainian soldiers because they acted with courage themselves. I mean, they went up against Russia, for God's sake, on the battlefield, and hundreds of thousands of them died. And that takes bravery and courage and dedication. And my heart goes out to them. Those young men should not have died. They should be coders and engineers and you know, attorneys and doctors and whatever. They should be members of society of a thriving Ukrainian country. But it was destroyed by the United States of America because we wanted to use Ukraine as a proxy puppet nation to weaken Russia. And it backfired. It backfired on Ukraine. It backfired on the United States. Russia is stronger than ever with its domestic economy, its industrial output, its weapons manufacturing, now seven times higher than all of NATO combined. And the U.S. can't even recruit people because the Pentagon has gone woke, trying to push, you know, rainbows and push-up bras and high heels for soldiers instead of saying, hey, let's defend America. I mean, the world has gone freaking insane, Maria. I'm gonna control myself here, but the situation is out of control. It's bad.
I agree with you, Mike. Every single day, it's becoming more and more insane. By the way, Germany's just given another $1.3 billion to Ukraine in the greatest money laundering operation seen since the dawn of man. Seriously. You know, the whole world is acknowledging that this is over. You know, Zelensky's out there asking for loans. I mean, we'll pay you back, I promise. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing, but he's been embarrassing from the start. And so Germany's just pledged another $1.3 billion taxpayer dollars to what? To Ukraine 24, the new HQ of the fully AI-run government, where the New World Order is at the top and all of the middle levels of government are removed and you just have AI running everything. And this is where, after the break, I want to segue into Javier Milei, Mike, because I know you have some thoughts, and so do I. And I think that I can offer, and maybe you can too, a different perspective on why he's ripping down all of these areas of government. The team can get that clip ready for after the break. What he's actually doing and who the hell waves a foreign nation's flag as part of their victory. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. We're here with Mike Adams from Brighteon. Really should be one of the top people that everyone is listening to. I think that as times get more difficult, as I said at the start of this show, people's true characters really will come out. And Mike has been consistent for many, many years. Mike, I want to talk about Javier Milei. The most conservatives are absolutely celebrating this guy. Less than 1 second Google search will show you his history with the World Economic Forum. Very long history of all of these organizations he's been involved in. But I will say that he's come out and said, you know, I'm really opposed to Agenda 2030. That was some time ago. I want to be fair about that. But team, if you can play the clip on B-roll of him waving an Israeli flag as part of a victory that he's celebrating, that to me is absolutely terrifying. Imagine the Australian Prime Minister at his victory speech waving another country's flag. Doesn't matter which country. That does not make any sense to me. Mike, what's your take on this guy?
Well, you make a really important point. Where do his loyalties lie, right? That's the question. Is he loyal to the globalists? Is he loyal to Israel over his own people? Will he represent his own people, or will he sacrifice their interests for the sake of Israel? Now, the same question comes to the United States. We have many people in positions of power who are dual citizens. They have Israeli citizenship and United States citizenship. And many of those people made decisions about the pandemic, by the way. Many of those people are in the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, and so on. And you do have to reasonably ask the question that when these people make their decisions, who are they representing? Whose interests are at stake? And increasingly, as you find, they don't represent us. Even the Pentagon doesn't represent America. You notice they rush to defend Israel's borders, but they do nothing to defend America's borders. I mean, when do America's borders get two carrier strike groups, you know, off one in the Gulf of Mexico, maybe one off the coast of California? When do our borders get supported by our military? The answer is never, never. In fact, our federal government sends soldiers to our border to cut the fences and lift the fences and help illegals across. So it's very clear that our representatives, by and large, although there are a few exceptions, obviously, but by and large, our representatives in Congress, in the State Department especially, and in the White House, absolutely do not represent the interests of the American people. This is a legit question to ask. And Maria, can I interject one more thing here real quick?
Yes.
Elon Musk has announced this thermonuclear lawsuit against Media Matters. This is good news. But to say that X or Twitter is a free speech platform, give me a break. Where is Alex Jones on Twitter? Where is the official InfoWars account? It's shadow banned. My account, Health Ranger, shadow banned. I actually get more response posting on my own platform, which is a fraction of the size of Twitter, obviously, than I do on Twitter because I'm shadow banned. I don't know if you're shadow banned, but we're all still shadow banned. So Elon, if you're going to sue Media Matters, why don't you start by just unleashing the power of the freedom to speak for the key people who can make Twitter more successful. That's people like Alex Jones and like myself and like you, Maria. We can reinvigorate Twitter or X as it is now. So stop silencing us, for God's sake.
Yeah, I've spoken about this before, but I'm going to say it now because I told X at the time, I'm going to make sure I continue to mention this. I have an impersonator. I have to have it pinned on my page. This is my third account. I haven't had my former two accounts reinstated. I have an impersonator engaging people in financial scams on X. I notified X about this and they said, oh, well, we need you to email us from your official business domain. So I did that. I emailed them from the Z Media domain. Then they said, that's not enough. We need your government issued ID. You need what? Sorry, someone else is impersonating me. I am active on this account. They're not. I'm engaging with my audience. They're not. But you want my government issued ID? You can shove it. So and X still hasn't done anything about that. So, you know, my point is, Mike, and you can see there are some people are very, very shadow banned still on there. You're one of them. I'm definitely one of them. It's not what people keep claiming it is. Certain accounts are elevated, certain accounts are silenced. And from what I can see, the actual truthers, the ones who hit the nail on the head, are still suppressed.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, Ben Shapiro has unlimited reach, but somebody like me or Alex Jones, who is actually uncovering a far deeper truth or a higher truth, we're completely shadow banned or completely banned in the case of Alex. So yeah, look, you know, Tucker Carlson has done a lot of great things with Twitter and or X and reinvigorating it, and that's wonderful. But Tucker Carlson, as much as I admire his work, he is not the only person who can attract hundreds of millions of views. Alex did that with his documentaries before he was banned by YouTube and others. In fact, Alex's documentaries have over 1 billion views on YouTube before they were banned. So look, you put Alex on X or Twitter, man, the sky's the limit. And by the way, I'll be happy to advertise on X. I'll spend easily $100,000 a month advertising on X. If Elon is afraid of losing his advertisers, I will commit. I'll spend $100,000 a month advertising on X right now for my store. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people who will support X financially that way as well. So I just wanted to get that in there and mention that. It has to be mentioned. X is not a free speech platform, not yet.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike, and you know, very noble of you to support that. I think a lot of conservatives are actually saying that right now. They're saying we'll foot that bill if we can continue to have a free speech platform. But these people are under the illusion, many of them, that it's currently a free speech platform when it's fully not. In any case, it is better than what we've had thus far. I'm personally not happy with just settling, Mike. We're at a point where the world does not want, leftist derangement syndrome and globalism are wildly unpopular. Even when you talk to normies about this stuff, they're terrified. They don't want it. You describe the dystopian future, and I do this as often as I can. I talk to regular people, on the street, in the shops, whatever. I can't keep my mouth shut, Mike. And so you talk to them about this future that they're building, and they don't want it. It is so unpopular. And so the solution now, Kathy Hochul, I want to play this clip from Kathy right before the break, and then we'll continue on the other side. Team, if you can line that up. The solution is really to indoctrinate people, children from K to 12, to make sure that we inoculate them against hatred.
Today I'm directing the Director of Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services to develop media literacy tools for K through 12 in our public schools. This will teach students and even teachers to help understand how to spot conspiracy theories and misinformation, disinformation, and online hate. Start talking about what we're seeing out there. Give the teachers the tools they need to help these conversations in school. And by teaching younger New Yorkers about how to discern between digital fact and digital fiction, we can better inoculate them from hatred and the spread of it, and help prepare them for a very fast-moving and often confusing world.
We can turn this off, team. So basically, the awareness is rising so much. Everything we're saying is so unpopular. Now we have to indoctrinate them starting even younger.
Yeah, well, according to Hochul there, you know, digital hate is anything that she doesn't want people to be able to say. Digital hate would be criticism of her governorship, by the way, and her policies, which I would describe her policies as hateful against the human race. I mean, she's spewing hate every day in her vaccine mandates and trying to take away the Second Amendment rights of the people of New York, and also surveilling and spying on the people of New York by monitoring their social media accounts. That's a form of government hatred against the people. She is queen hate of New York City. But she would say that I'm spewing hatred to even criticize her on that. So, hey, the truth is going to come out. But I know we got to go to break here.
Yeah, we'll go to break and we'll talk about the potential consequences of all this truth coming out. Don't go anywhere. We're here with Mike Adams. We're on our last segment here with Mike Adams. So value your time, Mike, today and all of your input. I want to talk about, so just before the break, we played that clip of Kathy, and basically the response of government is, things are getting too out of control. There's too much free speech, too much free thought. That speech that she gave was actually a response to the viral trend this week on TikTok of people reviewing some literature from Osama bin Laden. And so this was kids looking, having their worldview rocked by reading historical fact. And all of a sudden saying, oh, my goodness, we can't trust the government. And in comes Kathy, saying, oh, all these kids are being groomed to be terrorists. No, they're not. They're just realizing that the government can't be trusted.
Well, yeah, when the government says you're not allowed to read history and they start actually removing historical documents like that letter from Osama bin Laden, which I think is 21 years old, that tells you something right there. So I even commented on this in my own podcast. I said, what's so dangerous about Osama bin Laden's letter that no one should be allowed to even read it in America today? Why are they pulling it off everywhere? And actually, if you read the letter, number one, you realize that Osama bin Laden, even though, of course, I do not endorse his actions, and, you know, he is clearly radical in many ways, but he's not just some lowbrow, low IQ cave dweller as he was portrayed by the media. He is thoughtful in his own way. He has his own internal justifications for his actions and his own observations. Again, I'm not justifying anything he did, just to be clear, but he is in his own way a thoughtful person. And his commentary about the U.S. economy at that time was, I think, completely 100% right on, that the economy is driven by these warmongering corporations while the American people are suffering with homelessness and debt and internal economic destruction. And think about how much worse we are now compared to where we were 21 years ago. So, you know, if anything, the Osama bin Laden letter was almost prophetic about where America was headed today. So, yeah, we should have a right to read it. Doesn't mean we're going to believe everything the man ever said or become a terrorist or follow in his footsteps. I mean, you're supposed to read the ideas of different people, including those with whom you disagree. That's the very nature of free speech in America.
Well, I actually think that it's vital to do so. I listen to a lot of people that I really disagree with, Mike, just to get an understanding of their worldview and really to remind myself of what's immoral and something that I would never do and how to protect myself from ever becoming an immoral person. When you read through, you know, dictators of the past and you think, okay, if I have any sort of leadership in any way, I have to avoid these steps because that's what dictators do. I mean, this is how healthy. Right. And the fact is that the government doesn't trust people to have independent thought, to look at, you know, the most outrageous literature or the most outrageous speeches and make a decision for themselves about what is moral and what is just. And of course, you know, I think that this is because we've pushed God out of society, Mike. So in many ways, people can't be trusted to make moral decisions. However, the answer is not an atheistic government or even a satanic government telling you how to think. Really quickly, I want to give you an example out of what's just happened in Australia. We've had this tragedy. A police commissioner's child, I believe, has been injured in some sort of an accident. And of course, that's tragic, and our hearts go out to the family of this police commissioner. But what they're suggesting is a reward system now for people that don't do the wrong thing on the roads. So I wanted to get your take, Mike, on this this social credit conditioning that's happening. On one hand, you have someone like Kathy Hochul who wants to indoctrinate you from K to 12. She used the word inoculate. And at the same time, you have rewards for doing what the government wants in society. How do you think these two will merge in the dystopian future that they're building?
Well, can I ask you, in Australia, what's the structure of that reward system? What do you actually get if you don't violate laws of the road?
I have to look at all of the details, Mike, but from what I understand, it's maybe discounted tolls discounts on your tolls or discounts on fuel, for example.
I see. All right. Well, I would just prefer, as an American, to drive on the right side of the road in Australia and see how far that gets me there. I'd probably end up in an Australian prison, actually acting like an American on the roads. But you should try driving in Texas. I know you've driven through Texas where you have illegals all over the road that think the shoulder is a third lane and they have no driver's license and no insurance. And the state highway patrol won't even write them tickets because it's pointless, right? So that's a whole issue right there. But to your point, this is obviously a social credit engineering system that's being rolled out, attempted to be rolled out all over the world. Once they tie that, or I should say in Western nations, once they tie that to the CBDCs, which is the financial leash or noose around your neck because we will all be slaves under that system, then they have complete control. And they'll have GPS trackers in your cars. They've already passed the bill in the U.S. Congress to have the automatic kill switches on your cars, as I said earlier, making you a prisoner in your own vehicle. And it won't be long before they can summon your vehicle to imprison you and drive you to the nearest police station to be arrested because they think that you've said something wrong on social media. And by the way, when Governor Hochul says that young people have to be taught to discern fact from fiction, the government that she runs is the number one purveyor of fiction in the state of New York. And at a national level, it's the U.S. government that spreads more fiction than anyone else. Practically everything they tell you is fiction. Oh, we didn't blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. Oh, we didn't have anything to do with the pandemic. Oh, we don't build bioweapons. Oh, we don't have bioweapons labs in Ukraine. Oh, the dollar is strong. The border is secure. You know, I mean, it's just lie after lie after lie. And yet they claim to have a monopoly on the truth. Of course, you know, thankfully, your audience, my audience, the InfoWarrior audience, they know they can sense the real truth when they see it. And they're not fooled by any of this. There's going to be a major pushback against the social credit engineering system.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to ask you then, Mike, because I agree with you, there is a huge pushback already and people, you know, being debanked. Australia is now freezing bank accounts, one of the major banks. If you say something offensive online, that's sort of indirectly where this is heading. And so it's gotten really out of control already, and people just haven't felt the full force of it yet. But when they do, Mike, I mean, where do you see this going in the next 3 minutes? Where do you see the people going, the globalist reaction? And my opinion is that really only the strong will survive. The people that don't emotionally react to every manufactured crisis, and believe you me, more of them are coming.
We're going to have parallel systems, parallel economies, parallel currencies, cryptocurrency, privacy currency, you know, Monero, Bitcoin. You notice that the SEC just got a settlement with CZ and like a $4 billion settlement with that exchange, Binance, because they're trying to punish crypto. You notice Kraken has just been sued by the SEC, but Kraken is going to fight back and defend their 10 million plus customers. And I'm one of those customers, by the way. And I love Kraken because I can buy privacy crypto directly on that exchange. Once I have private crypto, or physical gold or silver in my hands or garden seeds or
legal ammunition, the government can't track it. They don't know where it is. They don't know where I put it or if I gave it to somebody. You know, if I'm giving somebody a silver coin or a gold coin, or I'm at a farmer's market and I'm buying food with silver, the government doesn't know that and they don't have a right to know that. It's my business. If I'm buying, you know, organic biscuits at a farmer's market with junk silver coins that are pre-1965, that's my business. Or if I'm using Bitcoin, that's my business. So you're going to see so many people reject the system, the CBDCs and the failing banks and the failing currency, which is the dollar. And those people who are stupid enough to stay in the dollar system, they're going to lose everything. Because as I said earlier, Maria, the dollar is going to zero. And those people who are still holding on to the dollar, they're going to lose everything financially. Whereas those in gold and silver and crypto and land and things that have real value, they're going to be the new wealthy of the next society that rises up out of the ashes after the collapse of this broken system that we're currently suffering under today. I truly believe that. And that's why it is a responsibility for each and every one of us to position ourselves to protect our assets and protect our voices and protect our health so that we can rebuild a society rooted in truth, liberty, freedom, and real justice after the collapse of this system that is in its last chapter right now. That's kind of my summary, Maria.
Truth, liberty, real justice, and actual prosperity, Mike. One where we are not indebted to globalist bankers. One where we support one another to prosper and live well and be blessed with our children and our gardens and abundance. And these are things that absolutely everyone wants. I read some statistics about Gen Z being pro-socialist. I think that if the world sees this model that you're talking about, Mike, they will flock to it. And you are doing such an amazing job in building that, Mike, in being a true pioneer for that. Health Ranger, Brighteon.com, thank you so much for your time today, Mike. Everyone, please support InfoWars and share this everywhere. God bless you all.